All right, joining me in studio, Chief Jerry Williams, Phoenix Police Department. Chief, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mike, for having me.
We got so much to try to cover in the short time we have. Let's start with staffing.
Yes.
We know that Phoenix has had a staffing issue for a very long time. It's been at a crisis level for a long time, but it's getting worse.
It is, Mike. And so, you know, instead of just kind of putting our heads in the sand, we're really trying to figure out a way to mitigate that, to make sure that we're able to respond to those calls for service to our community. We're about 350 cops down at the moment.
From where you normally are or for where you need to be?
Well, we're supposed to be at 3,125-ish or so is our number. We're sitting right at about 2,700 at the moment. So we're far from where we're supposed to be.
How do you get that number 3,100? Because I know the statistic that you're half the size of Philadelphia. We're bigger in landmass.
Yes.
We're higher in population.
Yes.
So it seems to me like you need to double the size of your agency.
So it would be lovely to have that many police officers. But when we look at the budget is saying 3,125 is what our floor is going to be or should be. You and I both know the nationwide challenges law enforcement is having with hiring people. So we've had to get creative. And getting creative for us right now is specialty to patrol or having some of our detectives that are inside going outside and helping assist the men and women in patrol.
Now, you've had to do that before, and now you're the expert. Correct me if I'm wrong. But when that happens, you have officers responding to crimes in progress.
Yes.
But proactive policing suffers, and you then don't have the detectives to investigate the crimes.
Which is 100% accurate and true. But what we're trying to do this time is making sure that when the detectives go out, they're giving that knowledge base to the younger officers, but still able to carry some of their caseload. Truth be told, though, let's talk about victims' crimes. We do have violent crime. Violent crime is an issue in this city. I have to make sure that the police department has to make sure that when you're a victim of a crime, you pick up the phone, you call 911. I got a blue suit responding and someone to answer that call and the communications in. From there, we take the report. From there, we give it to a detective, to your point, to investigate what's going on. And in the end, arrest the bad guy and then submit that case to the county attorney's office or to the city attorney's office.
And so, but it also is a customer service issue. And if somebody calls for a police officer, that's not an emergency. Mm-hmm. You have a problem with a neighbor, something's been vandalized. There's a long wait time for a lot of that. It's not your fault, but it's not the officer's fault. It's just you don't have enough people to field all of these, right?
Well, we don't have enough people to field those, but we're also, too, trying to think smarter about policing and being more effective and efficient. So we're working with the Arizona State University to kind of identify those quote-unquote calls for service that we shouldn't respond to, something that's a neighbor dispute, loud noise disturbing, truancy call for you know, in thinking about it, when we talk about the CAP program with the city, mental health calls that aren't criminal calls. My folks shouldn't be responding to those calls. We as a community need to figure out how to mitigate that.
So how much of what's happening is a morale issue that has to do with anti-policing? And is there a morale issue within the department with management, with you know, your command staff?
So one would always say that there is a morale issue no matter how you slice it. No matter how wonderful things are or how bad things are, there's going to be a morale issue. Long story short, I can't solely focus on that dynamic. I have to go out and talk to my people and tell them what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. So we've been hitting briefings. We've been over-communicating to our employees. But at the end of the day, Mike, what's so critically important to men and women in law enforcement is for the community to say thank you. I can't tell you how wonderful it is when we go to restaurants, we go to community events, and the simple words, thank you for your service, mean the world to all of our officers.
All right, so let me put you on the spot for a moment.
Okay.
How much of it, though, when you have a city council with a couple of people that are not necessarily pro-police, and you have now an office of accountability that they say they don't want anybody connected to law enforcement in the office, with it almost seems like they're adversarial to the police. What does that do to the morale of senior officers that are saying, listen, I can be out, I'm leaving?
So the way I would address that, I am not afraid of an outside entity looking at my department. I've said that from day one. I'm going to work with the Office of Accountability and Transparency. At the end of the day, though, as I said before, our employees want to feel valued and appreciated by mayor, council, by the community, by the business community, you name it. And we're in talks with mayor and council at this moment to try to figure out what that's going to look like for us moving forward.
So My issue, again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but my issue is when it feels like leadership at the city doesn't have your back and you have officers that have such a dangerous job to begin with, if they are forced into a violent situation, they shouldn't have to worry that there's somebody out there that wants to get them. And it feels to me like this Office of Accountability isn't just about accountability. It's about getting officers.
So the way I look at it, it's an extra set of eyes to give us suggestions on what we can do and can't do better. In the conversations that I've had in briefings with our employees, we've talked about and mentioned the fact that the public has this expectation of quote unquote perfection. We're humans. We can't be perfect, but at the end of the day, we can be professional with every single stop and every single call. So we're making sure, I'm making sure the employees have the tools they need, have the support that they need, have the equipment that they need to do the job and to do it safely and effectively and hopefully efficiently.
All right. So the staffing issue, one is recruitment. The other is officer retention.
Yes.
What are you doing about, how are you trying to retain the officers you have?
Great, great question. So we've established a sergeant's position that when employees decide that they want to leave or go someplace else and or retire prior to going to into the deferred retirement option program, Sergeant Rothschild is going out talking to people to find out some of the whys so we can try to mitigate and manage some of those whys. I mean, we actually took that out of our hives. So I didn't go ask for a new position. We found it so important to find out why people are leaving and the conditions that they're leaving and what can we do to mitigate that to be so important that we assigned an officer to that position.
Phoenix Union decided that they were going to get rid of school resource officers. How do you feel about that?
How I feel about it, it's their choice not to have that service. I can tell you I had two sons that went to Phoenix Union High School District. I'm a Phoenix Union High School District person. Although I'm so old, we didn't have school resource officers at the time. I thought it was a benefit to have the school resource officers when my sons were going to North High School.
I'm not going to do it, but the story about your son in North High in a basketball game that you were asked to leave, we'll talk about that later,
okay.
I think. But I want to know, when you look at school resource officers, if in my mind, if we are trying to improve the relationship between officers and the community that they serve, one of the best ways that can be is in a non-confrontational situation as a school resource officer. I still remember my deputy resource officer, and I graduated from high school in 1985.
Wow.
So that seems to me to be one of the relationships they'd want to build.
So in talking to a lot of the individuals we talked to this past weekend during the GAIN or getting Arizona involved in neighborhoods, one of our first stops we made was at a non-traditional school who talked about how he loved his school resource officer and how it initially that confrontation kind of relationship happens, but over time it becomes a relationship between Mike and Jerry versus, you know, Chief Williams and the KTAR guy kind of thing. So I think those relationships are important, and we as a community need to figure that out.
Yeah, showing the human side of officers. And I'm doing features on TV about officers and the great things they do in the community. And so many officers are serving in capacities outside of policing that shows a different side, coaching basketball, soccer, football, because it shows them as human beings.
Right.
And I think that's so important to be able to see, because a lot of times cops can't show that human side. They've got to put up that wall during their job. But in real life, it shows the human beings they are.
Well, in real life, we're mothers, we're fathers, we're husbands, we're wives, we're partners, we're spouses, and we care about our community and care about our fellow person. So we are that epitome of human kindness and compassion.
All right, I got to take a break. When we get back, I want to talk to you about COVID-19 because it's affecting everybody.
But
I want to find out how it's affecting Phoenix PD and the story that's out about how first responders have such a higher rate of infection of even frontline medical workers in hospitals.
Okay.
All right, we've got one more segment with Chief Jerry Williams in just a moment. All right, we are back in studio with me is Chief Jerry Williams, Phoenix Police Department. One thing I didn't ask you about, or you didn't talk about, was sign-on bonuses.
Yes.
For officers.
Right. So what we're trying to do is get folks in the door. We talked a little bit about the COVID mandates, and anyone who is being mandated to be vaccinated, we're looking for you if you're going to be a good police officer. But we have $7,500 signing bonuses for new officers, and then $2,500 if you recruit someone to be a Phoenix police officer and they get successfully hired.
So I was told by someone today that Salt River PD lost about 25% of their officers because of a COVID mandate.
Yes.
So it's got to be a fine line for you about suggesting that you want officers that are vaccinated, but also realizing that you'll take them if they're suffering from, you know, Tucson or whoever it is, right?
Right, right. So we have recruitment folks reaching out to both of those agencies, as well as we're finally able to travel again since COVID hit. So we're heading to Ohio. Some would say, why are you going to Ohio? And that's because we found through some metrics that that's going to be a great place to recruit folks. And folks in the Midwest want to leave that kind of weather and come here to sunny, amazing Phoenix, Arizona to be police officers.
When you look at the landscape and mitigation strategies for officers, because you can't always be in a position to mask up and do the things that are necessary. No. How has it changed for your officers in training and what you do to mitigate? Because we've heard that the cases are much higher in first responders because of that.
So what we've had to do early on in COVID, we had to separate recruit classes. So we didn't have to shut down the academy in its entirety, but we had to come up with creative ways to teach and train folks. We know very well that the first responders are there. They're going to respond. They're just going to take care of business. But at the end of the day, the COVID mandate is a city mandate. The city gives us incentives to be vaccinated. The city provides opportunities for us to be vaccinated. So we're trying to make sure that when you have the worst day of your life, that we're there to be able to respond and help you.
And it's got to be, and we've talked so much about medical workers and worried about their families. It's got to be the same for cops. You're doing a tough job, and now it's dangerous. You could be bringing that home to your families. That's got to be something else that officers worry about.
So you bring up another great point. Again, we're human just like everyone else. So I am certain that our officers, to whatever degree possible, are making sure that their families are safe. I can tell you, I have a firefighter son who will disrobe, if you will, prior to coming inside the house because he doesn't know what's on him and then wash those clothes. So I know police officers do the same thing because we're always worried and concerned about making sure our families stay healthy.
When you look at the growth of Phoenix, how aggressive are you in trying to get budget increases to increase the size of your agency?
So we're always looking at that. I can say this, Mike, with 100% certainty. We go to mayor and council, and I have regular talks and conversations with the mayor and with council. They understand this dynamic. They understand that we have needs that are definitely greater than we're provided, and they're willing to sit at the table and talk with us and through us with it, as well as working with the labor organizations.
So that's another great question. Your dealings with PLEA and the Sergeant and Lieutenant's Associations, how has that changed? Or do you have a good rapport with them?
So I believe I have a good working relationship with both of those organizations. It's really nice to have people that you grew up with in the organization sit at the table and try to mitigate through circumstances and situations. We're not going to always agree. But I will tell you this, both of the agencies and organizations are professional as I am with them.
I've said publicly, I think when you were on the air with me one time, I talked about there isn't anybody in the country more qualified than you are to deal with some of the anti-policing stuff that's going on. And you added a point to mine, which I said to you, African-American woman raised in Phoenix, raised in the police department that you now serve as chief.
Yes.
But you added to that, you raised two African-American sons in this town.
Absolutely.
So are you consulted in other cities? Do people reach out to you?
So that is a yes. So I sit on the Major City Chiefs board and the executive board, acting interim president of MCCA at the moment. But folks are always contacting me all over the country because I do have that lens. So I always like to say I'm the police chief who happens to be black, female, mom, wife, raised in Phoenix.
So how do you balance that with officers keeping, you know, you still have to be pro cop.
Yes.
But you also are looking at the community and saying, yes. Really, how do you balance that?
So that's a great question. And we've been talking about that in briefings lately. The idea and notion of being professional has no color, has no ethnicity, has no gender. You have got to be the consummate professional because that's the expectation. At the same time, it is incumbent upon my employees, our officers, to really listen to what's going on in the community. And there are going to be some times where we're going to have to take a couple steps back and readjust.
But there is a perception in some communities that police treat people differently in those communities. Sometimes it's real. Sometimes it's not.
Right.
How do you deal with the two?
You deal with the two by having conversations with both sides and putting myself right in the middle because my lens allows me to see some of the dynamics in people, persons of color's community, as well as the blue side of the community because I know what the officers are going through. In the briefing conversations that we've had of late, my folks have a more difficult job than I ever did 32 years ago, 100,000% more difficult. At the end of the day, though, it's about the badge and it's about the patch. And whenever something good or bad happens, it does impact law enforcement, and that's our responsibility to make sure it's not a negative impact.
Speaking of the badge, you guys are wearing pink badges.
We are.
Explain them.
So we have breast cancer awareness badges that we're wearing. It's also Domestic Violence Month, too, so we're kind of trying to mitigate both of those. But we always want to bring awareness to the fact that breast cancer is something that has impacted most of us in the community, and this is our show of support in wearing this badge.
That's very cool.
It's awesome.
Line of duty deaths, we just saw MCSO have one. It's got to affect you to watch this happen, especially as many years as you've spent here.
So I will say this, as a leader of the organization, you're always impacted by the death of your own, but also feeling for that other law enforcement executive that's having to go through that same process that you go through. And that's not to take away from the family. It's not to take away from the squad. It's not to take away from the precinct. But it's a very unique pain and hurt and responsibility that you feel as a leader.
And it's got to be tough with these officers to keep them motivated and focused when they're suffering such a loss.
Well, but that's why it's so important to have employee assistance units, to have folks like you who get on the air and show support for our employees. Also for those community members who, and it seems so trivial, to stand along the route, the processional route, to show support.
Chief, I always appreciate you coming in. 30 minutes is a lot of time for you. I know that. So thanks for doing this today.
So thank you very much. And I do want to give a shout out to the Blue Ribbon Campaign ladies who tie those ribbons all over the place. So thank you to Blue Ribbon ladies.